My name is Pastor Andrew Schaller. I serve Marquette, or Calvary Lutheran in Marquette, Michigan. But for many of your classmates, last names Oster, Nauman, Schaller, I'm simply Uncle Andy. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from Mark chapter 15, verses 42 and following. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we all make preparations every day, some simple, others a bit more complex. We arise from our beds, we wash, we dress, we brush our teeth, we prepare our hair. Before we go anywhere, we make sure we have our car keys in hand. And to prepare for the unexpected, we put on our seatbelts. Many of these preparations are ho-hum, thoughtless preparations. In this word of God, we're told that for the Jews, there was a day of preparation. For what did they prepare? For the Jews, every Friday might be considered a day of preparation. God had commanded the Jews not to labor on the Sabbath day, and so preparations would need to be made in advance. And so even as when the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, they gathered twice as much manna the day before the Sabbath, so in Jesus' day, they would have to make preparations before the Sabbath. This morning, we'll take a moment to look at some of the things that took place on a particular preparation day, the day we know as Good Friday. Joseph and Nicodemus, the religious leaders, the women who watched at a distance, and most importantly, the preparations made by our gracious God. How did Joseph and Nicodemus use the preparation day? Well, these two men used the preparation day to hurriedly wrap the body of Jesus. They worked in the late afternoon hours to wrap Jesus' body in strips of linen along with myrrh and aloes for its rest in the grave. They did it hurriedly because the Sabbath day drew near. They used the preparation day to prepare the body of Jesus. How did the other councilmen, the religious leaders, use the preparation day? They had a full day. They convened an illegal proceeding in the early morning hours, based on false witnesses, condemned Jesus. They spent the morning following Jesus from Pilate to Herod to Pilate, accusing him of different things. They incited a mob to call for Jesus' death. They spent time on Calvary, mocking Jesus as he died. They had a full day. Unfortunately, they spent very little of it in godly preparation. How did the women use the preparation day? They too spent some of the time at Calvary watching Jesus suffer and die. They also watched Joseph and Nicodemus take the body down. They followed to the tomb. They saw how and where he was laid. For them, it must have been a heartbreaking and emotionally exhausting preparation day. And still, they returned to the places where they were staying, and they prepared spices and ointments to complete the embalming process. It was a warm climate. Bodies broke down and smelled. They must have figured it would be the same for Jesus. What did you do on the preparation day? On Good Friday? Was it just like any other day? Did you spend some time quietly meditating upon the events of that first Good Friday? Or did we merely go about our lives following the desires of our own hearts? What about the next day, Saturday? Did we take some time to prepare for worship? Did we examine our hearts in preparation for receiving the Lord's Supper? We're not always so good at preparing, are we? For example, God's word warns us that our enemy, the devil, is like a hungry lion looking for someone to devour. And yet we pop up out of our beds, leave our dorm rooms, and go on to our lives without so much as a preparation, a thought. We fall into the same sins again. Praise God that he was also making preparations on that day. Even though few noticed or understood what was being done, our gracious God was also working on that preparation day. He was completing a plan designed by his own love in eternity. It involved sending his Son into the human race to live and complete and fulfill his own law. It required that his Son make the once-for-all sacrifice for every human sin. And so while Joseph and Nicodemus made plans and the religious leaders poured out hateful words, while the women watched from a distance with broken hearts, the Son of God from the darkness certified the job complete on that preparation day, saying, "It is finished." For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not charging their trespasses to them. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. No one noticed, but in the latter hours of that preparation day, our adoption papers were drawn up to make us children of God and possessors of an eternal inheritance. Awaiting one final verification, one stamp of approval, one receipt. And while most rested on the Sabbath, God prepared to present his gift to the world. On the first day of the week, he did. It was an empty tomb, which stands forever as the proof that our sins are forgiven. We have been reconciled to God. Consider that Joseph and Nicodemus prepared the body of Jesus for its rest in the grave, but their preparations were unnecessary. He didn't stay there. He lives. The religious leaders even prepared for that eventuality, having the tomb sealed and guarded with Roman soldiers, but they stopped nothing. The women came that first day of the week to finish the embalming process and found that their preparations had been for nothing. Were they disappointed? Well, if they were, their disappointment didn't last long. They saw a living Jesus in no need of embalming. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Therefore, let us joyfully prepare our hearts each and every day and for every day of worship, knowing he lives. Let us live each day in hope, as if he died for us yesterday, rose again today, and is coming back tomorrow. Amen. We'll conclude with the singing of hymn 189.